The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie.
And we better say a very good morning to Yvonne O'Connor. Hello, Yvonne.
Good morning, John Dunn, on this lovely sunny morning.
Indeed, indeed. Welcome to the... is it sunny out where you are at the moment, is it? Or is it just warm?
It's sunny, but it's thinking about maybe not being sunny and then being sunny again.
Yeah.
So in other words, there's clouds scudding along.
I always think that on a warm day, even if it's dull and overcast, it's a good day to be in the garden, isn't it? Because you're not going to get sweltered out of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I mean, any day you can get out and it's not lashing rain or freezing cold is a good day to be out in the garden. But it's one of those lovely days that you could be beetling around out there and doing lots of things and it would be very pleasant. Now, please do remember, unlike me last down, was it Tuesday? Please do remember that even if it's cloudy, there's a lot of sun out and you do need to put on the sunscreen.
Yes, indeed, absolutely. Otherwise, you'll just get those blotchy bits all over yourself. Okay, let's turn our attention to some stuff that's going on. First of all, straight into it, because we got two questions, one from last week and one from this week, and I know we've been covering it, Yvonne, for the last few weeks, but this is from Deborah. She says, I know you've been talking about hanging baskets. I want to put up 4 hanging baskets. My problem is I've never done a hanging basket from start to finish before. So while I kind of know the direction I want to go regarding flowers, but what do I do and how do I go about doing it? How do I choose the compost? How much do I put in? How do I water? Do I use the gel? Can you start from scratch?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's very good to get it right from the beginning. With a hanging basket, you start with the empty basket. You get a proper basket liner, one of these fibre liners or something like that. You put it into the basket. And if some people line with plastic because they say the holds the water better, it does, but please make sure to put a hole in the bottom of the plastic so you don't end up with a little swimming pool in your hanging basket. Now, so you get your basket, and as I 14-inch basket, I would say, is sort of the minimum size. It's very difficult to mind a smaller one. And the deeper the basket you can get, the better. Anyway, if you have the baskets, you have the liner, then you get your compost, an ordinary seed and potting compost. An ordinary, you know, medium-range compost is fine. Fill it up about halfway with compost, and then you can put in, mix in with your compost and in with the rest of the compost, about 1 teaspoon of the swell gel compound, the water retention granules that you get. Now, some of these you get with a food and some you get just on their own. They're just a gel. Either way, they're fantastic. They do retain moisture and they're particularly beneficial later on in the summer when the plants have made roots, filled the whole basket, and it's a miracle that any water gets into the basket. You'd want to be watering them every single day and maybe twice a day at times later on in the summer. But you then get to select what plants you want. Now, you probably need one centre plant. That could be something like a fuchsia or a geranium, if you want to be traditional about it, or one of the nice begonias, the tuberous begonias. They're fabulous as centre plants. And then put maybe three sort of trailing-y plants and some smaller plants around the edge. So something like the bacopa, or you could use the nemesia, which is an upright one. You can use verbena. You can use any of these plants, depending on the aspect of your basket. If your basket is north-facing, you need to go with shade-tolerant plants like geraniums, like the trailing, the creeping jenny, what you call it, that yellow yolk. Bacopa would be okay there too. Trailing ivies, a few pansies around the edge. These are good north facing. South facing, then the world is your oyster kind of thing. You can put in anything, you know, from your begonias to your lovely, verbenas and all these kind of things that make lovely flowers. So there are loads of trailing plants. So one centre plant, maybe 3 semi uprighty plants, and then maybe 3 edge plants. Now, that's a very well packed basket. That'll give you a very good instant effect, but it will be very high water demanding later on. So if you know, you could pull back and leave your plant looking a bit mean at the start, and then it will fill out over the summer. So there's loads of plants you put in, but as you put the plants in, then you fill up with the you don't fill the basket with compost and then get the plants in, because it's going to go all over the place.
Yeah,
but you tuck them them very well in, and then you soak them, John. You absolutely soak the basket then,
yeah,
when the plants are in, and then you'll be watering about once a week if it's not windy and dry, twice a week if it is windy and dry like today. Wind yeah. will dry out the plants more quickly than anything else.
Okay, and Peter was on separately on that, and he wants to know about, where is it? Can you add a slow release fertiliser to the hanging baskets?
Yes, you can. You can add it to baskets, window boxes, any containers. It's a very, very good way of feeding. You can indeed. You can give your plants an extra bump then by adding a bit of liquid fertiliser when you're watering either once a week or twice a week. You could add in the fertiliser. But the slow release is fantastic. Something like yeah. Osmocote is brilliant.
Okay, good one that. That'll help out as well. And I think, you know, we've been harping on about it. Is now the time to be concentrating on your hanging baskets? The fact that we're into our heading into our second or past our second week or in the middle of our second week of June.
You want to be getting your summer bedding, if that's what you're using, into your baskets now. Now, there are lots of semi sort of biennials and perennial plants that you can use in baskets as well. So people that are very conscious of biodiversity and they want to be, don't want to be going with all these hybrid plants that there's no, you know, nectar in for the bees, they can include, you know, Salvia nemorosa and other things in their baskets. Some perennials that are really good and look well in baskets, and you can use a combination. There's nothing to say you have to go all bedding or all perennial or, you know, or annual plants or whatever. You can mix these things and play around with them, and then take out your perennials in the autumn and plant them out in the beds, and they're ready to go then for next year again if you want to.
Okay. Right, here's another one in for you. This is, again, the old familiar one with roses, and D was on. I have standard rose, no growth at all. Is there anything I can do with it? How do I go about helping this rose out?
Well, if she means by no growth that she's into a standard rose with just woody looking stems and no leaves on it at all yet, she might be into a little dead standard rose, because it should be making some growth at this time of the year. But I mean, if there's just little small growth, it's struggling, I would suggest she just feeds like mad. Now, sometimes if roses, you know, if standard roses have not been managed correctly, what happens is you get suckers developing, and these grow off the stem of the rose below the budded or grafted point of the rose. So it's actually the wild rose that's growing, and you have none of this lovely hybrid rose head on the top, you know. So she just, if she wants to WhatsApp me a photograph of that, I can give her a reply when I see a photograph of it. It's very hard when I don't know whether the yeah. thing has leaves on it or not.
Okay. Now, Declan was on. He's been working hard. His garden is full of lovely fuchsias over the last few years or so. But some of them are very, very much overgrown. And can I tidy them up and clean them up now, or can I prune them back, or do I have to wait till the end of the summer?
No, you can do them now. Fuchsias, in particular, the fuchsia magellanica varieties, which would be the varieties of the wild fuchsia that you see in the west of Ireland, the pink one and the red one in particular. And these, they got very badly burned fuchsias with that frost in May. And really, they're only beginning to grow on now and recover from that. So you can cut back all the dead bits and leave the new shoots come on. And then next year, again, really the time for pruning fuchsias is at the end of the last frost in spring. Now, that frost was particularly late this year, and it caught some people out in that they pruned before that very heavy frost, thinking the frosts were gone, and they got further damage. But with fuchsias now, any dead stuff that's on a fuchsia now, or a hydrangea, cut back to the new shoots that are coming on, and then you'll have a fine bush for the summer.
Good stuff indeed. Okay, let's move. Daffodils.
Yeah.
It says, is it okay to cut down the old daffodil leaves now? Cut them back, that is, says Tom.
If they've gone yellow, Tom. I know, it's this time of the year, every year, people get so impatient with daffodils, and I don't blame them, because they're fabulous early on in the year. But if they're in the wrong place, and if they're very visible, they can look extremely unsightly at this time of the year while they're dying back. Tom, all I'll say is, grab a handful of them if they're gone yellow or whatever. If they pull away very easily, you can remove them. If they don't pull away very easily, you should leave them be for another week or two.
Right. Off we go to vegetables. Well, actually, hold on. We better just change our description of what a vegetable is. It's tomatoes. So tomato is technically fruit, but I think we know where we're coming from on that one. How do I go about feeding my tomato plants, and how much tomato feed do I give tomato plants, says Teresa?
I would hold back on tomato feed until the fruit has set on the tomatoes. You know, you get your little flowers and your fruit set. And then you can feed, like Bijani, you can keep feeding if you want to. Now, if the more you feed, the bigger the tomatoes will be and more lush. I find, now again, and this is just a personal opinion, I find that if you feed too much, they lose flavour. Now, that could be just that it might, when I've overfed them, it has been in combination with a bad old summer that hasn't had enough sun to sweeten them up. So I could be all wrong on that one. But that's just, you know, the way you get fixations about things. And that's one of my fixations. I don't like to overfeed them. I do keep them fairly well fed, but I don't like to overfeed. Do not feed before the fruit come on, because if you do, all you get is loads and loads of leaves, and it'll be to the detriment of the amount of fruit you get.
Okay, good stuff. Right, Jerry was on, and Margaret, hello to you. They are going to be hosting, God willing, everything, a small party at the end of August. That's why she just said at the end of August. It'll be kind of for our daughter, who's getting married, and it'll be an outdoor barbecue with a bit of luck, fingers crossed, and we're okay in numbers. Okay, I know where you're coming from. We're based on everything being positive and moving forward with COVID. We know exactly where you're coming from. The question is, I'm looking to plant flowers that will be in full bloom by the end of August, early September. Have you any suggestions, that anything I could put in the ground now, or plant pots, or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, well, the pots you can do closer to the time, and you can go to the garden centre and you can kind of get yourself some instant colour for the pots. If you've got any sort of borders where you could put in stuff, you could put in herbaceous plants now that are going to flower later on, like Rudbeckia and heleniums and sedums and things like this that flower later on in the summer. So you go into a garden centre and or even look up plants for flowering, you know, go for August, September flowering, because you just don't know what way the weather is, and you don't know what way it's going to be. So you need to give yourself a bit of a broad window there with regard to time of flowering. You could also, if you can get some of the carpet roses, you know. The pink carpet roses are particularly good and long-lasting flower, and they can mix in a border. You don't have to put them in a rose bed. They could be in a border. And again, they're just starting to come into flower now, and they will be in full flower right through and would give you great colour. So go to your garden centre, look for herbaceous plants that flower at the tail end of the summer.
Yep.
Not too late now, at the tail end of the summer. As I say, it's things like Rudbeckia, or what was I saying, helenium. Sedums might be a bit late. Asters. There's loads of bits out there that will flower late on in the summer. And if you get a half a dozen of them and get some carpet roses, and then leave your pots for more instant planting coming, you say, the week before, in case the week before turns out to be absolutely a deluge, you know. So you can kind of have your plants ready and just put these couple of plants in the pots 2 days or a day before, so you have instant colour and they won't be wrecked if you get terrible weather. But they're, other than that, the herbaceous plants and the few carpet roses will give you a nice show.
Okay, good one. Right, here's another one. It's back to black fuchsia this time. It says, what is the best way to stop my black fuchsia spreading everywhere? It seems to pop in beside the roses particularly, and then they take over, says Maria and Rascool.
Now, I'm going to have to show total ignorance here, John.
Okay.
I don't know what a black fuchsia is.
And I was going to ask that question anyway. I've never heard of one, so I don't know what a black fuchsia is.
I haven't either. I do not know what a black fuchsia is. It's not black bamboo by any chance that's coming up everywhere. No, if he says fuchsia, it means fuchsia.
Okay.
Look, I'm going to have to look that one up.
Okay.
I'm really sorry. I don't know.
Okay, we'll play the fifth on that one for now. But in the meantime, let's turn our attentions to any idea of some trees that have a yellow-green scab that seems to be killing them. Any idea what it is and how to go about treating it?
I would be tempted to say that this yellow-green scab, if it's on the stems, is not a scab at all, but a lichen. And it just might be that the tree is struggling. Now, lichens are not bad in themselves because they are a sign of the nice clean air, but they can. The trees under stress would try and get more lichen than others. I would suggest that that tree is under stress. Now, I'm guessing here, John, because I'm presuming this is on the bark, not on the leaves. I mean, if there's a disease on the leaves, that could be a different thing altogether. But if it's a yellowy, grey, greeny, you know, growth on the bark, it's probably lichen. And I would suggest if the trees are struggling that you just get some food out and feed them.
Okay. I just did a bit of quick Googling there regarding black fuchsia, and what it says here, it's kind of part of the fuchsia family. Basically, it's dark green, blue in spring, blue, dark green in summer. That's the type of foliage it is. And what does it say here? Hold on.
John, have you got a Latin name there for that?
I'm just going to go hunting for it now and see what it says. Fuchsia, black beauty is what they call it, okay?
Fuchsia, black beauty. Okay. It's one I don't know. I probably should know it. I don't know it yet. Okay. I will look it up.
Okay, and if there's any more information, I'll send it on to you. We'll have a sconce, but it'll give you a point in the right direction anyway. Okay, let's turn our attentions to Jim. Was on to us and wants to know, what type of manure could you use for sowing potatoes?
Is he only sowing potatoes now? He's a bit late. Janie Mac. Look, ordinary garden soil is the best.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you can put some farmyard manure if you can get some down in the ground. Horse manure or cow manure is great. Down into the ground, cover over with soil and put in your spuds. He is quite late, but I mean, he can still get them in. But look, if you have good garden soil, you shouldn't need much else other than that.
Mm.
And get them in, and let's hope you get a decent crop later on.
Okay, John was on to say, he wants to know, is it true that if you put a nappy in a hanging basket and surround it by the soil, it will do the job and help hold the water?
Yes. I don't know.
Why?
It don't have to be the most beautiful thing in the world in a hanging basket.
Well, I suppose
you could make a hanging basket out of the nappy and you wouldn't need a basket at all.
But there you go. Couldn't you do that too, as well? So there
that.
You go.
Once you could have them, you know, two, one. I don't think it, of course, because there are compounds to absorb moisture, of course, in nappies. But not the most.
And we're talking about clean ones as well, by the way.
Oh, Janie Mac. You know, okay.
I know where it's coming from because it absorbs the liquids.
If you,
yeah.
If you take this inner layer out and put it into the base of the compost, of course it will, and it will absorb. And look at, if you put the, as I say, you don't have to use the whole of the nappy. You would take it apart, cut it with the scissors, remove that inner layer, put it inside the basket liner, I presume, and then put in your compost. And you'll kind of have this reservoir at the base of the basket.
Okay.
I presume that would be fine, and I presume that's what he's thinking. And apologies for laughing. It was such a confusing idea
to think of a basket
made out of a nappy. But yes, I'm sure it's a great idea.
Yeah, okay, well done on that one. Now off we go to Newlands Cross. Okay, Richard is on to us, and Richard says, in my garden, I have a rather large lilac tree, and I feel it might need cutting back soon. Just wondering, when is the best time to do this? Now, or do I wait till the growth is finished in September or October? Any advice there?
No, after flowering would be the best time. And just kind of go handy on it. Now, lilacs do tend to throw up suckers as well. You don't go too hard on it, but you can cut it now after flowering.
Okay, so that's it, straightforward. Once it flowers, done and dusted, you can get to it.
And any shrubs, John, that flower in the spring, you know, you would prune after flowering.
Okay.
And if they flower summer through to autumn, then you prune in the winter.
Okay, off we go.
Now, that's a general rule. There's exceptions to that.
Okay. Off do we go to Kathleen. First of all, she says that, by the way, I have fed them. So there we go. The WhatsApp is just updating
there. Oh, right, this is the tomato.
No. This is a different one completely. It was just the way the WhatsApp came in. It updated itself. Okay, so we'll go to the beginning of this. Yvonne, she sent us in a photograph of her geranium flowers are wilting before they actually bloom. Have no idea what's gone wrong. I have them fed also.
Yeah, just be careful that, number one, you're not overwatering and they're getting a mildew, you know, a grey mould on them. And if you know, that could be killing them. And maybe too, was that, did those flowers get knocked during the frost that we had 3 weeks ago or so? And you might be only seeing the results of that now. In which case, take off the dead flowers anyway, for the moment. Don't overfeed for the moment, or don't overwater. And let's see, do they recover over the next week or so with this improvement in the weather?
Okay, now off
could
we...
Could be just a little fungal infection, you know.
Right, off we go to Saoirse. She says that they've recently built a house on our family farm. One question which comes up is, sometimes the cattle get onto the lawn and end up with hoof marks. Any ideas how to get rid of that or sort it out?
Put up a fence would be number
would
one.
Be the number one
stop
thing,
the
yes.
Cattle getting onto the lawn.
Yeah.
Look at... Not you know, just
grow,
fill the
it?
Holes.
Yeah, that's it.
If they're not too, I mean, when cattle are a heavy animal, so the holes are probably deep. But if you can get a fork underneath and sort of, there's probably loads of them, and lift that, you know, get a fork and just sort of underneath the compressed bit and kind of lift it, that will help greatly. And then just dress over with a bit of soil or compost or something, a bit of grass seed. Look, there's not a lot you can do. Cattle can do an awful lot of damage to a lawn, you know, especially if it happened before we got the dry spell and the ground was particularly wet, and they go to the gills in it. And you just, there's no shortcut out of that, I'm afraid, you know, unless, and I'm sure it's a big lawn, so I'm not going to say rotivate it and overseed it and all this kind of stuff, because you couldn't go there. Get a fork underneath, lift the compressed holes as best you can, and try and get it so that you're not breaking your neck in the holes or the lawnmower's not sinking in them.
Okay, brilliant. One final question. I have a lilac tree in my garden, but it didn't blossom this year. What could be the problem?
That could just be the frost. Now, a lot of things got wet, depending on where the tree is. It could just have been that the frost whacked the blooms at the wrong time. It would have been coming into flower, and I'd say it was just in a frost pocket and it got frosted. See if there's any little black clumps of flowers on it that were just about to come out and just didn't make it. But I'd say that's a frost problem, John.
Okay, good stuff indeed. Yvonne, brilliant as always. If people want to get in touch with Yvonne, they can ring her on her mobile number, which is...
087-2855-011.
Okay, and that's it. Sorted for the Green Room, with thanks to Jim and all the team at Johnstown Garden Centre. Thank you very much, Yvonne. We're back again next week, and Jim will be back in with us next week. And thanks to Johnstown Garden Centre, as always, for looking after us so well.
The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie.